And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the city of Nain, there was a funeral. A widow, who of course by definition had already lost her husband, now had lost her son. And the procession was bringing his body publicly through town. Her circumstance brings to mind the very important figure of Naomi from the Old Testament book of Ruth. Naomi also had lost her husband Elimelech, and then, in addition to this, lost her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Naomi had no doubt known the experience of a funeral procession. She had watched her husband carried off to the tomb, and then she had watched her sons carried off to the tomb one at a time. Her response was, "Call me no more Naomi, but Mara," meaning bitter. These situations are similar, but you and I know, and every clergyman knows, that not every funeral is the same. Death is always a shock and an unnatural end to the glorious gift of life that is created to last eternally. But the death of a person who has lived a long and full life, who is suffering with many painful ailments, is not to be compared with the funeral of a child. Perhaps when you've been flipping through the prayer book trying to find something, you've noticed that there is a special liturgy for the burial of a child. And this liturgy, the gospel passage to be read, is taken from the 18th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, the very same passage that's read for St. Michael and All Angels Day, for the reference to angels from which we build the theology of guardian angels. And the passage involves the disciples' question about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, answering their query, draws a little child to stand in the midst of them and says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Now, we are given no sense in the scripture as to how old the son of the widow of Nain is. Jesus calls him young man. But the fact that she was going to have to bury him means that he was too young, far too young, perhaps even a child. Not all funerals are the same. And this was one in which there would be probably no comfort sufficient to assuage the grief. Jesus saw this funeral procession, and the scriptures say, "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not." Instead of Jesus letting the little ones draw near to him, this time he drew near to the little one. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Now, this resurrection from the dead was one of three miraculous resurrections that Jesus performed. Of course, there was Lazarus, who was raised from his tomb on the fourth day. But the other two were children. And one of them, we get a report as to how old she was. Of course, there was the widow of Nain's son, and the third was the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. And Jairus' grief would have been great indeed if Jesus had not intervened. And again, Jesus drew near into the midst of a child. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, with the power to raise from the dead those who had succumbed to their mortality in 32 years of life and 3 years of public ministry, raised, to our knowledge, one adult and two youths. Three people. Three. This Jesus, who has power over heaven and earth, whose very line descended from Ruth, daughter-in-law of Naomi, who lost her husband and two sons, who came and dwelt among us in a world where death's rule and reign of terror caused all creation to tremble since the Garden of Eden, this Jesus raised in his earthly ministry a grand total of three. how many difficult funerals were taking place at the very moment of those three, let alone all the rest of his earthly ministry, one per year of his ministry. And don't you think that those who saw him raise the widow of Nain's son put two and two together and immediately sought him out to have him come to their own family tomb? Every family touched by a tragic death would have equal claim to Jesus' authority, saying, if he brought her son back from the dead, why couldn't he, why wouldn't he also bring mine back? And for that matter, leave resurrections aside, if he fed those many thousands so easily with five loaves and two fishes, surely he could feed these thousands, these tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, these millions. And if he can calm the storm on Galilee, if he can heal the paralytic, if he can give sight to the blind, if he can make the deaf hear, why doesn't he do this for all storms and all hunger and all disaster and all sickness and all poverty? At the very least, surely he can handle me in my circumstance. And yet the Lord, more often than not, gives a shocking answer to these prayers for health and prosperity. And the answer is quite often, no. For a moment, consider another miracle as parallel, the feeding of the 5,000. When Jesus multiplied loaves and fish, one of the first responses of the people was very logical, and perhaps it would even be our response about 6 hours after that miracle. Simply, Lord Jesus, do that again. And listen closely to what Jesus said to those who were following him looking for more bread. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Jesus said, my Father gives you not manna as with Moses in the wilderness, but true bread from heaven. And their unintentionally perfect request after he said that was, Lord, evermore give us this bread. To which Jesus replied with perfect intention, I am the bread of life. Jesus, evermore give us everything we lack. Everything we need, Jesus says, I am what you lack. I am what you need. I am the bread of life. And he didn't give them more bread, more filled bellies every 6 hours. He gave them himself forevermore. When he raised the son of the widow of Nain, the scriptures say, and there came a fear upon all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us and that God hath visited his people. And they were right. And this was the point of the resurrection of the child. And Jesus explained also to those who had received the bread a message which informed all three of those resurrections, as well as the multiplication of loaves and fish. Soon after revealing that he was the bread of life, he said, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, not 6 hours of a full belly, everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus raised one person per year of his earthly ministry after encountering how many, could you guess? Tens of thousands? One per year so that all who believe in him will be raised forevermore. When Jesus performed miracles, it was for the same reason that the Old Testament prophets performed miracles, so that the message of the prophet would be wholeheartedly believed. Christ performed miracles so that they would know that a great prophet is risen among us. Hear him. But we have seen miracles at St. George the Martyr Anglican Church. We've seen healing. I'll tell you 10 of them if you want a list. We've seen doctors baffled by test results. We've seen people walk away from vehicle accidents with hardly a scratch, mangled metal. We've seen providence in countless circumstances. And why has he done this? You must understand that these divine interventions mean something. And it's not to prove that when we pray correctly, God gives us what we want. It's rather that God would have us believe in Simpsonville, South Carolina, what the whole town of Nain believed on that day when the widow's one son was raised, and what the whole world will believe sooner or later, that God hath visited his people. And of those who believe in him, those whom the Father has given to him, he will lose not one. And he will raise them all up at the last day unto eternal life. May there come a fear on us all, and may we glorify God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us. And may we know that in this place, in our lives, even in tragedies and in sorrows, this day and always, indeed God hath visited his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.